today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
If someone tells you that they can explain to you the church in the Old Testament, they're mistaken. There is no church in the Old Testament ever. Why? There's just Israel. Because God offered the kingdom to Israel. You see, there's great application for the church in the Old Testament, but not the church. It's not there. Paul explains that to us. Paul said the church, that's us, was a mysterion, a mystery. He said, until me, and Jesus revealed to me what it was. Jews and Gentiles molded together into one body of believers.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Now, in chapter 4, then, we see something else. He has a new message. He announces a new kingdom. You see, how's this going to work? Understand what the Jews thought. The Jews were convinced, look, we're the chosen people. There's 12 tribes of us. When Messiah comes, who fulfills the Davidic covenants, he's going to rule with a messianic kingdom over the whole world. He'll throw the Romans out, and Jerusalem will be the center of the world. That's what's going to happen. But they rejected Jesus. So Jesus said, the kingdom is now going to change. At this stage, the kingdom will change. And it does. Doesn't mean God negates his Old Testament promises. He doesn't. And that's it. But those things will take place in the future here. So he starts out. He began to teach by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat at the sea, and he sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea and on the land. I just couldn't imagine. There are just thousands of people packed in. And he was teaching them many things in parables and saying to them in his teaching. Now, notice in the English, it's got an exclamation point. It's the word order in the Greek. Here's his first words. The way I think he would have said it. Listen to this. That's why there's an exclamation point in English. This is important for you to understand why. There's a whole new thing I'm going to tell you. He said, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he was sowing, and some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell in the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and when it grew up and increased, they yielded crop that produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. Then he stops again and said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I hope you heard what I said. Wow. Now, as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking, what did you mean? What was this about? Now, they understood the idea. A parable is a picture with a central idea. They understood. They wore a belted packet around their waist, that when you went into your field, you put your hands with seeds, and you sowed your seed this way. Now, what he's going to say here is pretty interesting, I think, from that point of view. He's saying that the sowing of the seed itself is the Word of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to be sown like this. And where you could tell by these analogies, we'll see in a moment, What's the soil? The human heart. It's how each human being's going to respond to this Jesus doing this. And so Jesus then says, he says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. There are ones who, he said, are beside the road where the road is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes, takes away, he said, the word which had been sown to them. In a similar way are these ones who sow the seed on rocky soil. These first two groups, he said, are twofold. The one group is the seed is sown, and immediately the person wants nothing to do with it. That would have been my first response as a young adult in my life. Someone sowed the seed of the gospel, and my response was simple. That's stupid. That's just stupid. I don't believe it. It's just foolishness. You wait. You're telling me in some obscure place, some guy, some Jewish guy, goes and gets crucified like thousands of other people, and if I would believe in him, everything's right between me and God? Never had a chance. But I changed, fortunately, but I never had a chance. No. So the second group, though, he says, notice with that group, he says, in a similar way, the ones whom the seed is sown on the rocky places, and when they hear the word, they hear it with joy. And they have no firm work root in themselves and only temporary. And then when affliction or persecution arises because of it, they immediately just fall away. This is what I'd call in our culture easy believism, mental assent. Yeah, I believe that. I think I'd like to go. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? Let's go. He said they emotionally respond, but it never really takes root at all. Then, the third group. And others who are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Okay, I'll stop there because I don't want to have discussions in the lobby afterwards about this. This is one where we have a tendency to very much, almost everybody does. Okay, I know the first group's lost, the second group's lost. I know the fourth group's saved. What about the third group? I say they're lost. I say they're saved. I say they're lost. I say they're saved. And if you read the commentators, guess what they say? I say they're lost. I say they're saved. I mean, it's that. In fact, Chuck Swindoll with that group, it was interesting. Chuck Swindoll said, that group defines most American Christians I know. Wow, that is interesting. And he said, and notice, it did not die. It just did not bear fruit. It did not die like the first two. It just did not bear fruit. And when you think about it, you accept the gospel, but then the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter into your heart and becomes unfruitful. And by the way, it could make sense. Along the fields, for the safety to keep animals out, they'd plant thorn bushes, keep animals out and things like that along the field. But a thorn bush in Palestine at this time could grow 6 feet high. That's a big thorn bush. That means it has extensive roots. So if seeds are growing in there, the thorn bushes take up all the nutrition and water. And the seed is alive, but not bearing any fruit at all. So then Jesus says in verse 20, he says, and those are the ones whom the seed is sown on good soil, and they hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. He said, wow, it bears fruit. That's what we're saved for. That's what Ephesians 2 tells us. We're not saved by good works. We're saved by grace and grace alone. But once we're saved, we are saved to bear fruit. And Jesus is saying exactly the same thing here. And apparently some people in their day must have thought like some people in our day do. Notice this is more of a warning. He says in 21, a lamp is not he says, brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed. It is not brought to be put on, isn't it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, and anything which has been in secret, he said, but that it would come to light. If anyone has the ears to hear, let him hear. This sort of tells you what Jesus thinks. If you think, I got to tell you something about my faith, it's very important for me. It's completely private to me. That's it. Just me and God. That's it. I keep it private. Jesus, what are you doing? You're not saved for that. You're the light of the world. Yeah, but I took my light, I put it under the bed. I don't want anyone to see this. See, Jesus says that's just foolishness. That's not why you're saved. You see, we're saved to bear fruit. So he understood the logic of so many people using that. And then he says, after that, he says, take care, he said, what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you. And more will be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever does not have, even what he does not have, be taken away from him. No amount of service that you would ever do in your life could ever exhaust the blessings God will give you for doing it. That's the point. See, that's the point. You got some, I'll give you more. You got more, I'll give you even more. You don't want anything, you have nothing, I'll take it away then. You see, you end up becoming that non-fruit-bearing person yourself. It's an interesting thing. Jesus even talked about that when he talked about giving, about our generosity to give. And he said, look, when you do that, you receive back from God. He takes it, he shakes it, he sifts it, he presses it down. He overflows it to you. I don't know. It's still my money, and I'm just not sure if that going to happen to me. See, that's the problem of riches that he talked about. See, that's the way God operates. So he says all that at that stage. So then he moves to another parable. He gets there and he says, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon a soil. And he goes to bed at night and he gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself doesn't know. The soil produces crops by itself, first a blade and then a head, then a mature grain and in the head. And when the crop permits, immediately he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. It's kind of inexplicable, isn't it? When you see something like this, what the Word of God can do to a person, it's kind of inexplicable. It's just amazing to me to see how a person changes in their life. I'm sometimes just overwhelmed by that thought. That how did this happen? You see, how did this happen? I can remember as though it were yesterday, kneeling at my desk and praying to receive Christ in my lab. And then just amazing things happen. How? I have no idea. I have no idea. But I've told you this many times, but I'll tell it to you again because it's appropriate for this setting. If there is one thing I hated as a student in high school, oral book reports. I never wanted to stand up in front of anybody and talk. And I never did until I was saved. That's the way God operates. It's just the way this whole thing turns out. Well, then he goes on and he says, verse 30, he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? You know, it's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it's smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, forms large branches, so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. This is really a poignant thing. First of all, let me say something if you're a biology major. Because someone probably told you. We know for a fact that the mustard seed's not the smallest seed that ever existed. So Jesus is lying here. That's not exactly it. The mustard seed is easily the smallest seed in Palestine at the time Christ is speaking. It's the smallest seed for the listeners. They know it's the tiniest seed possible. So I don't think he was misunderstanding it. He was talking to his audience. And he says, when you plant it, it's so tiny. And then all of a sudden, it becomes huge in one season. It's an amazing thing. But what's he talking about? The way this kingdom is now going to be changed. How many people in Israel are believing in Jesus Christ right now? A handful. We'll call it the remnant. There's always a remnant. On earth, how many believers are there at this time? Just a tiny, look at that. They're nothing. Now, I want you to think about it. Think about Israel right now. Or the Jewish state, but Israel. Now compare that to the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. How big is the church? Millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions. It grew into something enormous. Just enormous is what it grew into. He said it's small now, but it's going to get an awful lot bigger as this thing plays out, and he's exactly right with that. One other thing I want to just point to your attention, because I often wondered about it, and I have a theory from this week that I read. It says, so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. And I wondered, what do they mean by that? And what I've always thought, it gets so big that birds can land in its branches and be under the shade. That makes sense. But Warren Wiersbe, who I read this week, a real good Bible expositor, he said, if you look back, he said to verse 4 of chapter 4, he says, and he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it. What is the agency of Satan? Birds, in verse 4. The seed never got a chance. The bird just snatched it up and ate it. He said that's a prophecy forewarning of Jesus, that there will always be birds in the church. There will always be birds, false teachers in the church. They'll always be there. That's an interesting way of looking at it. I can't prove it. He's smarter than I am, but I kind of liked it. I thought it was pretty darn good. And he goes on, he said, then with many such parables, he was speaking the word to them. He said, so far as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable. But he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. What an interesting thing. The key to all this is new. This is all new. I've got new leaders. I have a new family. And the kingdom has a new message. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we have an Old Testament. And what do we call the other one? The New Testament, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. We have old covenants, and what's it say in the New Testament? New covenant. We have a new covenant. The church is completely new. That's what gave birth here, the church. If someone tells you that they can explain to you the church in the Old Testament, they're mistaken. There is no church in the Old Testament ever. Why? There's just Israel. Because God offered the kingdom to Israel. You see, there's great application for the church in the Old Testament, but not the church. It's not there. Paul explains that to us. Paul said the church, that's us, you see, was a mysterion, a mystery. He said, until me, and Jesus revealed to me what it was. Jews and Gentiles molded together into one body of believers. None of the other disciples knew that. They didn't understand it. Even in Acts, this is after Jesus is ready to ascend. And guess what they said to Jesus? Lord, are you going to reestablish the times of refreshing now? That's the kingdom. Are you going to bring the kingdom back right now? Jesus says, not for you to know the times of the day. But the point of it is, that's what they thought. Why did Peter not want to eat with Gentiles? It was a struggle for him. He didn't fully understand it. Paul comes along and he explains it. There's one body of believers, Jews and Gentiles alike, make up the church. That's the uniqueness of it and how great it is. It's a whole new concept. And perhaps the most important thing for you and me to understand when it comes to new, I'll read it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't even matter what your past was. That has no bearing. You just can't believe the mistakes. Doesn't matter. That's not who you are. You're a new creature in Christ. He's not trying to reform the old person. You've been, as Jesus said, born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. You must be born again. And when I'm born again, I'm born a new creature. That's such a wonderful thing. How tremendous is that? The newness of our Lord. That's us. Now, I think sometimes I get overwhelmed by that. How many times have you ever used the old you as an excuse why you're not living better? I've done that. Well, you know, Lord, I mean, I've always been. I mean, I'll just use a more gentle one, but you know, even when I was in 9th, 10th grade, I procrastinated. I got to tell you, I'm a procrastinator. That's the way I was. I even hate to say it, but when I wrote my master's thesis at Dallas, I wrote the whole thesis in like a week. I had 3 years to get ready. And I didn't know procrastination. What I'm saying is my excuse was that's who I am. That's not who I am. And that's not who you are. You are a new creature in Christ because Jesus has come and he makes all things new. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the new things that Jesus Christ has brought. Thank you, Father, that our Lord is the author of newness. One day, Father, even this whole creation, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. All the old things will have passed away. Father, I pray that as we understand the soils, that we realize that our responsibility is not just to be saved, but to bear fruit. To bear fruit, as Jesus said. And if we bear fruit, we will continue to grow with the blessings of God so that we can bear more fruit. I think all of us, Father, want one day to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have him look at us and just simply say what he said in the Word of God, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Those are great words to motivate us. And I pray, Father, that it does. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.